let the sun catch you crying. The night's the time for all your tears. Your heart may be broken tonight, but tomorrow in the morning light, don't let the sun catch you crying. The nighttime shadows disappear, and with them go all your tears. All the morning will bring joy for every girl and boy. So don't let the sun catch you crying. We know the crying. Stop your crying when the bed sings. It may be hard to discover that you've been left for another, but don't forget that love's again, and it can always come again. Oh, don't let the sun catch you crying. Don't let the sun catch you crying. Oh, no. Oh, oh, oh.
Anybody want to say anything? I'll have to unmute you.
All participants are now unmuted.
Anything? Eben hasn't shown up yet. Don't see Eben here.
How's it going, Bob? Are you okay?
Yeah, who's this, Sean? No, Rob. This is Rob, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a bit of an early morning, so I call myself Slob in the chat room. How you doing?
Okay, good. Let's go over and see. I noticed Slob writing. What did Slob say? Only one entry there. Slob says, just listening to the Leather Greens Bob Fest. Are you joking when you say Leather Greens?
I was hoping you might cut it as a spelling mistake, but yeah, I just woke up with a humorous mind.
Yeah, you know it's the Evergreens, right? And you're changing it to Leather Greens.
Yeah, make a good lead, make a good dog lead.
Yep. Pinching, you say, pinching a trillionth of a second Big Bang query. And then Augmenter says, you got some balls, Slob. I think he's saying balls, B-O-L-S, I don't know, something like that. And then Pink Crypto says, I just pinched one off myself, created a whole new universe. Then he says, that's how I roll. But you go back a bit, you got this endless dialogue going on here. What is, how far back down? That's quite a loaded question. What have the, right, so Jamie says to Crypto, oh wait, let's just go a little further down.
With the pinching, does Pinch have anything to say on that, or is it?
Pinching? Thomas Pinching?
Yeah, on the universe.
Yes, he has a lot. He does that constantly. He takes the cosmic view and make stories around it.
I'm looking forward to reading some of his stuff. You know, it's been every time I've dipped into anything you've said, it's been great. But Pinching, I think I might have to buy some of his stuff. It doesn't seem to be available online.
Right. I just noticed Bill told me Wepener Botha from South Africa is on the line. You still here, Wepener? Wepener? Well, I guess he's gone, you know. Okay, back to what we have here. Jamie Sinopoli says, interesting. And what do you think of Ion and the other non-physicals that are on here? Were you immediately accepting and open to what they talk about? And Crypto says, I figured it was just a gag. It was a lot of fun. Jamie says, what have the RNA drops done for you that you are aware of? Are you taking any of the other products? Crypto says, that's quite a loaded question. I'm taking all of the products. You want a testimonial? Is that it? Jamie says, aha, I was just wondering what it did for you that made you stick with it for so long. That's all. I haven't seen anything like it. Crypto says, over the course of the experiment, I've gradually mutated into a Sasquatch. She says, perfect. That's exactly what I've been looking for. And then Crypto goes, aye-ya, trying to do Ion, I think, aye-ya. And Crypto says, I took my power. There's no question about that. Then James says, yes, quite interesting. Now that there's a music break, I will be signing off for now. See you all in a little while. Crypto says, see you, Jamie. Then Brown Moses says, quoting, I live for the response. I think he's quoting me. Crypto writes, no response. Oort says, Planet Earth is probably the best reality show in the universe. And then you come in and say, just listening to the Leather Greens Bobfest.
What's big in the UK at the moment is the green taxes. So I don't know if you have that going on in Hawaii at the moment. There's a lot of green taxing.
Yeah. That's taxing what? Environment?
Pollution? Green crap.
Well, money. Taxing money. But what is green crap? Green pollution?
You know, we don't call food green. You know, it's not greens like greens crap. It'd be to do with you know, anything to do with reusable energy, kind of rubbish kind of stuff.
They're taxing rubbish.
Yeah, anything to do with the climate change, you know, it's all people cashing in on.
Oh, you mean they're taxing those things that pollute?
They're creating a whole new green tax. So anything involved in energy companies that are charging extra money then to counterbalance the rise in it is becoming a green energy tax.
Okay, so Crypto says.
And also, it's something to do with Greenpeace as well.
Yeah, they're going after Greenpeace. Crypto says, what a pro. And Melody says, evergreens? And then Crypto says, this guy is a trip. And Jamie says, Crypto, when did you start taking RNA drops and learning about Ion and listening to Bob, etc.? Crypto says, pretty much since it all started. Well, I was listening before the drops came along. Jamie says, so that was over 3 years ago? How did you find all this and what made you connect with it at all? Crypto says, I was looking for financial advice and came across Jay Martinez on this station. And this is what I got. The program was called Cashflow. That's where we all first heard Ion and Bob. So Bob's been around for like 100 years. And Melody says, starting to knock off again, TTYL. What's that mean? See you, talk to you later, probably. TTYL, talk to you later. And then we got to catch up to where we were. I'm checking the web controls. What?
Did the Evergreens have like a retreat like the you know, like the Krishnamurti retreat? Did they create something like that? I remember going on their website a few years ago, and I think you could go and hang out with them or something.
No, not then, not now. You could in the 80s. They would have weekend retreats every now and then. Greg Sanders has gone to them.
Wow.
Went to them. They didn't. They stopped doing that. They hadn't. I don't think they did any in the 90s or the thousands. What they would do when they were living in Vancouver would have workshops at their home. You know, people would come and have a seminar on a topic. But big retreats didn't last into the 90s.
So they were just trying to keep up with Sedona and Krishnamurti and who else?
Just trying to keep up, did you say? Just trying to keep up?
Yeah, well, people do something that works and then then they want to
oh,
do
yeah.
it themselves? Or were they like, this show is quite reserved, you know, you only have like so many listeners tuning in, and the whole world listens afterwards to the recordings, or,
right.
you know, so by having a festival like that, like having a retreat, it's creating a year's worth of fodder for people to consume, isn't it?
Yeah. I think I know what you meant. It's just that they did it a bit in the 80s, and then they didn't gather with people on that level.
Were they affiliated with any organizations, like, say,
no.
for example, Blavatsky Society, or...?
No, they were affiliated with nobody. They came out of the silver mine. Michael was in training in the silver mine control early 70s at the Mind Institute or something on St. Clair Avenue in the early 70s. And Carolyn eventually had her building, her clinic, on St. Clair Avenue further west along that street, all in Marsh McLuhan's living area. And then Michael, once this Evergreen thing started happening to him in 1974, he left the Mind Institute and went on his own, started doing his own thing, giving sessions. Did it for 30 years.
So they had a really good, solid background before they even started doing stuff. They had really good training. You know, it's something that I noticed in Croydon about 8 years ago when I went to, it was a church, you know, it was in a church, and there was a guy there in his 70s, and he was channeling like 25 different entities, and he would, you know, you pay to go in, and you listen to him for a few hours, and I spoke to him afterwards. He was channeling people from the 1900s and 1800s. Very powerful speeches, you know. Obviously, he kind of, whether he knew them or whether it was real at that time, I didn't know that any of this was real. I just thought it was his thing. But I spoke to the guy, and he had a clear background for 25 years as a hypnotherapist.
Yeah.
So even before he started, he was aware of these kind of... You know,
yeah.
it's like that initiation stage you go through before you even know that yourself that you can do these things, you know, because I think that kind of warning that you had earlier, like, about your friend's brother, I think that was very, very good advice, you know, but it's quite kind of difficult to convey to somebody, because you're talking about someone's long-term sanity, really, isn't it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me say this, that these people who have some discipline before, they get quite on a pedestal with their discipline. So they're really good at it, and then the little people are impressed, so then they have a superiority complex, and they're bored doing that, so then they say, well, I'll start making up shit. And they might
fake
the mediumship.
Well, you know what came to mind with
they
the
might fake the
that.
Mediumship. Let me say, you get that point. They might fake... They move to another level. The hypnotist gets into this thing, and he's not impressed with people anymore. He sort of played with them. So now he puts a higher level of acting into it. That's a cynical way to look at
it. What do you know about the Egyptians, where they made kings out of the children kind of thing? So the children were kids in Tutankhamun time and stuff like that.
Could it be possible that
those kids were the perfect medium, because they were quite young, and they were able to lead the whole kind of...
Maybe. Yeah, that's a good point. Ian says that Prince Edward, one of the sons of Henry VIII, so a brother of Queen Elizabeth, or stepbrother maybe, and Mary Queen of Scots, I think it is, he only lived 18 years or something, but he was hugely influential in the scene there. He was king for a little bit as a young person, and he also had an influence on interpreting making the Bible or something. So that's one example of a young person who might have been a genius or a channeler or something, some weird setup.
Well, that's the dividing thing, isn't it, when the Bible comes out as a flat plan for people to start regulating what it is they do, rather than going out and doing the pagan rituals and, you know, stuff like that. But
right.
I think that bringing together these worlds again, because that's what's happened, and acknowledging this stuff as well, and through listening to this show, I don't know what I'm trying to say, Bob, you know, but I think that.
Oh, well, you're doing pretty good. You're pretty clear tonight, Rob. You're very resonant voice. You got a good voice. You doing the drops again, or do they get credit for this? You doing the
Well, it was my birthday recently, and we've just been living at large, me and the dog.
How old are you? Are you 33?
God, I'm doing a teaching course at the moment. Might be a teacher for an assistant, but I'm 41.
41, you know? Okay. So that would be 1972. 73? 72.
Yeah, it was the same year that the coins changed, so there's a lot of coin melting at that time.
1972. All right. Yeah, there's a lot of people on this scene here that were born in the 70s.
I noticed a woman there on last night, and she's got the same birthday as me. Is it the lady in Sedona? She's off to Sedona. Yeah. Oh, there was a lot of synchronicity last night listening.
Was her birthday today or yesterday or the 20th?
No, it was November the 11th, the same day.
Oh, yeah.
And she was talking about her father dying, and I was thinking, God, my father died around that time as well.
What time? Around the time you were what?
A month before was, obviously a month before the birthday. She said her father died on the 11th of October.
Right, but what? When did your father die?
I can't remember, Bob. It was recently, though. It was a couple of years ago.
A couple of years ago. What kind of relationship you have with him?
Good. Very, very good. Especially living in London, speaking over Skype.
Yeah.
So we had amazing conversations. He had diabetes, so it's something that I've noticed recently. I think it was Matthew or somebody was saying that basically their studies of diabetes and stuff like that was a catalyst for them to get into being more knowledgeable about health and stuff, and it was something to do with his father having diabetes or something. No.
Well, how old was your father when he died? Or
64.
64. So he 1940. So
he was very.
1936.
He did very well with the magnesium as well. He managed to get magnesium on prescription from the GP. Shouldn't really say this on the airwaves, but it's quite a controversial thing for doctors to be doing stuff like that. But he had really good magnesium, which, and he did a lot of research on it, was from America. The only good place you could buy magnesium was in the USA.
Right. But he didn't live. How long was he on the magnesium?
Oh, for a good few years anyway. It was great. He said it absolutely lightened a lot of stuff for him because he was on so many tablets that the doctor's event, with the feet drying up and stuff, he's just kind of, it was really bad. So
yeah.
The magnesium and anything like that just really took the edge off a lot of stuff.
Now, I said 1930, if he was 30, well, maybe he was born in 46, 40 and 60. Yeah, he was born in 1946.
Oh, yeah, the year he was born, if you're looking at astrology and stuff like that, it's just completely perfect. He was mixed. He was on the borders between a Leo, and then what's next to Leo?
Virgo.
Is it Virgo or the other side?
Cancer. Cancer, Leo, Virgo.
Virgo. No, it's Virgo. So he was on the borderline between the two. And obviously that year is quite a good year, so he was very intelligent.
But he's dead now, see? He fucked up, man. Why is he dead?
Well, he read a lot of books in his time, and he did what he wanted to do.
That would kill you. Reading a lot of books, that'll kill you.
Well, that's a great... You were talking about films and watching TV and reading books, and that's another great thing about Facebook. Recently, they're pushing you into kind of saying, have you read this book, and have you watched film, and did you watch this TV show, and you actually go through it down the line. It's like, how do these people know this stuff about me? It's like they're popping up TV shows out here and films that are like, wow, of course I've seen this, of course I've read that.
Well, they track what you're watching. I mean, they're always throwing Zappa at me.
Every single thing of his... because that Zappa website, I remember getting referred to about 6 or 7 years ago. It's a lovely website, and they're always creating really, really interesting new albums of his stuff. It's like, yeah. I was just curious to know if you kind of help out with any of that kind of intelligence.
No.
These guys
Gail works with herself and whoever she picks. Gail is not amenable to much suggestion from people. That's Zappa's widow.
Well, all I know is at the time as well, when you recommended him, I was DJing and I dropped one of his songs. Obviously, it was the Manx one because I'm from the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
Manx Women. And it just, there was a couple in there, you know, there was nobody dancing, but they must have been in their mid-40s, which is quite old for the particular club that we were in, and they just got up and they started almost doing, like, this ballroom dancing, you know, which is so entrancing, and they're dancing to the Franks, and even the barman's like that, sticking his thumb up, like, going, well done, Rob, because I was a really crap DJ, you know, but that was, like, one moment for me where I really redeemed myself, and the manager comes up, it's like, yeah, great, keep playing this, it's like, come back next week, you know, even though I was volunteering, I was just doing it for nothing, you know, it's just good to be out doing stuff when you're at university.
Yeah. Back to the, they're saying now, only West Coast freaks are up right now, and then Crypto says, and me, and the other worlders, then he says, Bob shot JFK.
50 years of JFK, I mean, how is that so quick? It's just gone like that, hasn't it?
Yep, the time has gone rather quickly in this sped up situation.
It's a great
time. Time can keep up.
It's a really good film. I've seen that film when it came out. Obviously, with the internet, it's a lot easier to watch stuff, isn't it? And it's a brilliant film. It's a really good film.
JFK. Is that what you're talking about?
Why is it that American I know that you were saying about Bashir and Ion being film directors. It's like, anything to do with the American presidents, whether it's the Butler film or you know, anything to do with politics and the movie industry, is there's so much effort that goes into it, you know, there's...
Yeah, a lot of work. What film is great? Are you referring to JFK?
Yeah, I mean, part of it's in black and white, isn't it? So it's...
Yeah.
I just remember watching it and thinking, God, I thought I was going to be watching some dreary documentary here, but it was just a really good film.
Yep. And I'll just read some messages. Roxana says, is spirit what we now call non-physical? Probably in Evergreen's term they call spirit. That would be non-physical. Then from that historic man, how did humans constructed to the pyramids and when did the Lemurians come? Well, that actually, we will get that in the next recording, I think. We go a little further along in culture after doing the beginning of the universe. And then Sean in the UK, he says, just tuned into your 5-day epic here this morning and caught your first ever Evergreen session. Great share. Thanks, Bob. It's my first ever, not the first we've broadcast, and it's not the first one I had, but it was the first for tonight. Then Roxanne in Berlin comes back and says, what about all those cone heads? Those were the ETs on Saturday Night Live. Good question, Roxanne. They might have been, they could have been the Boodians. And the Boodians are from, is someone laughing? Someone snoring.
Bob, this is Bert.
Bert, come to save me. Well, I'm having a great conversation with Robert. Robert is being quite something, right? Sane or normal or straightforward. Right, Robert? You're actually performing very
sure
well.
Sure thing, yeah.
And it was
I always am, Bob, but, you know, it's also difficult as I listen to the show because there's so many hooks and sinkers for me to kind of swallow. And if I grip on at the wrong moment, you're going to be like, fuck off, I'm cutting you off. You know?
Okay, well,
exactly the same thing.
Bert, it's very good, Bert, that you showed up. You couldn't make it earlier, Saturday obligations. Now, do you have any clue of what's happened so far, Bert?
a little bit. Before we go there, there's someone snoring in the background. That's what that was me laughing.
Okay.
Someone on the line.
I'm looking at, that looks like Legend. I will mute. And do you hear any more? No, it's gone. It should be gone.
You're
now.
Probably hearing my dog whimpering in the background. I think I'll have to take him out for a walk. I've literally just woke up, you know, but it's possibly Motley.
No, it's I just clicked off Legend, and there's no more snoring, right, Bert?
Yeah, there's nothing.
Yeah, Legend's the type of guy who would just fall asleep snoring. He wants to hear this stuff. He stayed as long as he could, and then he went unconscious.
I've heard it on the feedback. You listen back to the show, and I'm like, no, that's my snore, and you recognize it a mile away. But you never hear it yourself unless you've recorded it.
Yeah, now you, Rob, what do you think of our new website? Bert loves it, the one that Bart made. Have you looked at that? RadioFreeIon.net?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great one, Bert. Yeah, if you made that, I thought it might have been Ed doing his thing, but it's a good kind of duplication of the perfect design of Blogspot. You know, I've tried many different ways with the new design of it. What's it called? It does get more traffic for a few days, but then they change it, you know, so it's best to keep using the style that you've got there.
Right. Now, we're not talking about Bert, we're talking about Bart. Bart did it.
Bart,
not
yeah.
Bert.
It's close, but
yeah.
Not.
Yeah, okay. Close. No condom. Close, but no condom.
Is that Bob and Ion? Yeah. Bob and Ion?
What?
What's it called, Bart? Is it Bob?
No, listen. RadioFreeIon.net.
Right, the one on WordPress.
Is it on WordPress, yeah. Bert? Probably, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It's on WordPress, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, you've been using that for a few years now, isn't it?
No, I didn't make it. Bart may use WordPress, though. He has been on WordPress, I think.
Yeah, I remember when that first came out. It was about 2 years ago or something with the drops. It was
his history of his life with the drops. Yes.
Okay, so did you manage to get into the affiliate program for that?
Who, me?
Yeah, I noticed it as a customer. No, I'm talking to Bart.
Okay, Bart. Now, Bert, you're talking to Bert, B-E-R-T.
Yeah.
B-E-R-T. And Bob, Rob and Bob, it's not, Bart's new site is not the WordPress. It is, it's a specific RadioFreeIonWebsite.net. It's not,
Right, WordPress. And his previous place was WordPress, I think.
Yes, or something like that, yeah.
So did you get that joke? You got that, didn't you, Bert, when I said, what, me, be an affiliate?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, right. Yeah, I own the goddamn thing.
Is that right, is it? I didn't know that. Nobody knows that, man. That's incredible. I should have known that myself, but...
Known what? Rob's starting to spin out. What? You should have known what? That I owned everything?
I thought Matthew's the brains behind all this, you know, he's the mastermind.
Well, Matthew is the brains between setting up the distributing and the marketing. He is the brains of it. I didn't apply any brains. I did give him the title of his show, Up the Orphic Anti, or Up the Orphic Anti. I gave him that, and he changed the last syllable, or the last vowel. But anyways, no, he's the brains. I did my job. I brought forth the new reality. The new environment known as Ion. That's all. I did the major lifting. You guys are just playing with the after images or the this. I don't know what you call what you guys are doing, but I did it. The greatest invention in 13,000 years.
There you go. Bob created the playground space, and we're playing in it now.
Yeah.
Is that Matthew there, is it?
What?
Was that Matthew's voice then? Is Matthew on now, is he?
No, that was Bert.
Okay.
It's only you, me, and Bert.
I was listening to Matthew's show yesterday as well. He had some interesting guests on, but I'm really looking forward to the lineup this weekend, Bob. I'm just trying to give you a few moments' breath free for a bit.
I don't need any moments. I don't need moments. Now, first guest, Santos whatever his name is, Bocino, he didn't come.
He didn't come.
Yeah. And their second guest, Eben, hasn't come. She should be here by now. I even left her a message. Matthew's going to get, heads are going to roll in a few hours.
Here you go.
Who's ever organizing this lineup, there's a miscommunication. I think people think we're supposed to call them.
Well, maybe the great thing is you've got lots of recordings of these people already where, you know, you must have your favorite moments with
I don't know any of
Eben
them. I never heard of any of them.
I mean, you could just play Eben all 5 days.
Matthew just stocked the whole list with his shareholders or something. You know, it's almost an inside job.
A great page. What a page you knocked up, though, as well. You look at it, and it's just like, oh, this is a really nice page.
Well, the important point is I say it's Woodstock, and I added Altamont. That's the brilliance. Bob's Woodstock and Altamont. Do you understand that, Rob, what Altamont means?
No.
It means disaster. It happened a few months after Woodstock, where the Rolling Stones had a show in San Francisco someplace at a racetrack.
Yeah.
Hell's Angels were the bodyguards, and the Hell's Angels end up stabbing someone right on the movie. I think the movie's called Gimme Shelter. You see the murder right there on camera.
Wow.
Well, that's unexpected if you have all them players in the house. But, you know, I think a lot of with the Hell's
that's
Angels...
That's racist,
well,
Rob. That's fucking racist what you just said.
No, it's not. It's if you get a load of organizations. Yeah, I know you're right. Maybe you're right because these guys were very organized. They represented stuff. They did a lot of good stuff for motorbikes. You know, it's Harley Davidson. Where would Harley Davidson be without the Hell's Angels? You know, but
yeah,
they were known.
Where would the drug business be? Hell's Angels did a lot for underground drug dealing. They did. They really helped that industry.
Well, it's no different to the Italian mafia, you know, the way they changed with the times. I think they probably did have their things where they said, no, we would never do that. But once the money started rolling in,
and then they fell for it. The sirens started raiding and they fell for the seduction.
But the movie industry, no matter whatever it is, if you go back to the 1920s, even with the kind of mobs that were about then, they would all be hovering around the Hollywood film studios. There'd be finances going on behind the scenes. And what's just really obsessed me this past week after finding out about Basher, because I didn't know about Ion as well, what you announced last night again. I know you've announced it before, I just don't think about it. Is the movie, you know, having a part in the movie industry as either a director or just somebody who coordinates what's going on.
JW would just talk to the main people like J.J. Abrams and just give them ideas, and then Abrams would get someone to write it up. Or maybe he does talk to the writers.
So Ion's in essence is part of Transformers then. They kind of make the Bandai stuff go to the big screen.
Yes.
Well, I'm getting mixed up with the Power Rangers.
I don't know about that.
Well, they're all toys. They start off as toys and for kids. And
no, he doesn't work with that. He doesn't work with the toy industry, I don't think.
That's more China, isn't it? Power Rangers. So what's... Are you in a similar kind of loop, Bob, with the movie industry?
No, I'm not. I'm not connected to anybody in the movie industry.
Well, I find that hard to believe with films like SpongeBob and what was that
one? Well,
they're
all about me. I'm not an affiliate. I'm an environment.
I'm not saying you're an affiliate. I know you said no, I'm not an affiliate. what is the vibe with this? Like, it's like how can you influence so many people? Or are you must be closely connected to some kind of either writers groups or
I'm an environment. Directors. Now, listen to this, Rob. I said in 1985 I'm going to become the funniest person who ever lived. Now, if it wasn't for Ion, we wouldn't even be able to make statements like I just said. But with Ion, I can do it. I can say, I didn't affiliate with Hollywood. I'm an environment. That really could not have been said before, but it evokes humor because we have an Ion connection that adds validity to my statement. You get that, Bert? You get how I can say new statements that would have no meaning without Ion. But with Ion, I can become the funniest person who ever lived.
And you are, from in my world.
That's right. I keep you going.
These guys would not be anything without people like yourself, Bob, you know, by investing in their powers. And then you deserve that kind of...
You mean guys like Bert? Bert wouldn't be anything without me.
Yeah. No, Bert, you know, well, everybody... I'm talking about the actual financial investment.
Okay, Rob, he's got a question. He's got a question,
Robert. Robert, I have a question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Ready?
I'm just muting you for a minute, Rob, okay? I know you like to... You get excited, so let me just calm down. Hey. Let's hear Bert's question.
Bert has a question for Robert. Robert, have you heard Bob's meltdown in Genesis?
I don't think Rob has bought many recordings.
Okay, then that's why he doesn't understand about you being the funniest man in the world.
Yeah, the meltdown is one of my finest performances. I had not heard that thought before. That's interesting, Bert.
Bob?
Were you on the floor at that? I'm yelling at, they abandoned me. They betrayed me right in the middle of the session, Carolyn.
The only information about Genesis is through the leaflets that are put through my door.
Bob, I believe Bill's on the line.
Oh, just a minute. Rob. Okay, who's that?
Evan Ray's on the line waiting for you to show up.
Well, what number is she? Where is she?
I just unmuted her. Go ahead, Evan.
Evan, you just showed up, Evan. Your number, you just got here like 1 second ago, right? Bill's putting me on. You haven't been waiting, have you, Evan?
No, I am new. I am fresh. I am with
Excellent.
You.
Excellent. So boy, are you into some good show, good stuff here. So, Evan, you went to bed early or something? What's the deal here?
No, I am just up and running around. It is mania, and so just got caught up in a whirlwind. And so, sorry to belabor, but it's lovely to be present with you now.
Okay. Well, did you get my phone message an hour ago or something, an hour and a half, 2 hours?
Yes. Yeah, I interpreted it as PST time, Pacific Standard.
Right, 3 a.m. your time. And so you're only 37 minutes late. That's all right. I'm just glad you made it. Doesn't matter. We had a great talk with Bert. And did Bert get his question out? Bert was asking Rob. Joe, we did that.
Rob never answered.
Yeah, Bert laughed. He liked my line that it's hilarious that Carolyn and Ion turn on me in the middle of a fucking workshop and will not pursue the issues. And this, we sell this. Bob has a meltdown. Now, here's the interesting point, Evan. The next day...
No, not a meltdown. I meant they locked down. They locked down.
They locked down me, and I had a meltdown. But here's the real point, Evan. That's November 30th. The next day, Ion checks out. So if you put two and two together, I either fired Ion or we got fired by Ion, if you believe Ion is not around since then. But had you noticed that pattern, Bert?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Yeah. I yell and scream at those idiots, those fucking assholes, Dr. Dean and Mr. Ion. And do I calm down and we get back? Probably. I can drop the emotion.
Joking at the end.
We're all friends again by the end, right? I've long forgotten the issue.
Yeah. But it was a snowball that turned into a snow boulder, and the meltdown was fitting because you actually started giving clues in the first recording about the words and how things were turning and not really clear.
I was getting clues in the first recording?
Well, you were giving clues that you were going to meltdown because you weren't, the points weren't being expounded that you wanted to.
Right.
But they wanted, and Ion kept, what was leading up to it is that Ion was giving you jokes about that you have so many verses and so many words to go through and you're just on the first chapter and it was like 2 hours into the recording.
I recall getting mad that he was not being clear on the tree metaphor. The leaves on the outer branches had somehow connected to the inner branches. That was where he was not visualizing it. I think I understand it now.
Oh,
I'm not re-listening, but I think he might have been, he just didn't know how to say it, but I think I could get it to both end figure ground flipping that was going on there, which would more tactile, which I didn't get during the session.
Well, you know what, Bob? Maybe it's that. Maybe it's that because you have that cosmos that I'm sorry, darlings.
Hey, we don't use it. Hey, Evan, this is not your show. I do not want to hear the word darlings in my zone, okay? I have to put up on your radio show, but no, please refrain from the word darlings here.
Yes, you got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. But you have a universe that anything that comes to you from Ion wants to be translated, downloaded into those figures.
Into what I know. I don't take anything new. It must be translated back to the chart and what I already knew. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. So that's your frustration because they're saying it. I think sometimes the people that are listening kind of get and kind of into it, but you squeeze those lemons.
I want to make sure they got it right. I want to make sure he knows what he's talking about.
But that's according to your chart.
That's your chart.
And you're talking to this non-physical, and you're supposed to have some deference, but you're saying, fit into my goddamn chart.
It's like non-physical. Only around me does he say physical is more powerful than non-physical. But Ion doesn't really believe that. He thinks non-physical is more powerful, but he won't say that around me. He says, "Oh no, Bob, you're way more powerful than us." He's such a suckhole, such an ass.
You know what? That's so funny because I was listening to your interview about the Lemurians. And him saying that these guys that we sit there and think, oh, they had all these grand, freaking civilization before us, and they understand our power, but we don't understand that. And I want to, talk about pro-human freaking, proclivities, because he's right. This incarnation of this flesh, what we learn all the dissociative bodies that we have that you are talking about, but yet the singularity and that spiritual element that's,
See, look at that, Bert. Look at Evan go. She's as fast as
going,
man. She just starts spewing off the words. Like, I think there was about three questions in there, or statements, but carry on, Evan.
I can do that because it's you, Bob.
So, yes, that's right. There's much to cover when you know my brain is there receiving every direction you go.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I can just do that. I can just
yeah.
it up and you're like, champagne.
Yeah. If your mother heard you now, she'd go, "What happened to my daughter?" Like, you can't finish the sentence.
She's kind of heard a little bit of it. I kind of tame it down. I tame it down, for sure.
Yes. Bert,
Bob,
I think Bert wants to say
that argument. That argument that you just said about physical being more powerful than non-physical, actually, that's the beginning of the second Genesis.
yes. Which, Rob, just a second, did I keep Rob on mute? Sorry, Rob. Is this you, Rob?
Yeah,
yeah, good.
Hi,
okay.
Evan. Let me be Los
Hi.
Angeles.
Hey,
let me be Los Angeles.
Please, put your wings on.
Now, I'm Robbie Window, who used to comment on all your audios. Well, what happened to that site you had them hosted on the audios in the 2005?
Yes. It is still there. I just need to link up those archives. But I think when people email me, it's easier for me to pull out whatever they want in particular and make it available. It's on a different part of the server, and so it's a little technical glitch.
So it's still there. It's still there.
Yes, it is.
It's just on a different URL.
Well, Bob is so good at harnessing all Bob that I,
the master archivist.
Yes,
he is.
Absolutely.
I don't know what that means, Evan. You're going a little batty here. You said Bob's a master at all, Bob. What does that mean?
Oh, just that you would have the archive of your the shows that we've done together.
Oh, yeah. In my archive.
Yeah.
Right.
I think Evan might have helped you in some way, because there's no way that one mind could develop the archives that you've fine-pointed. I think Evan's helped you somehow.
Evan has only helped me by being there to create the content.
I find that hard to believe.
And she did teach me how to dance on the, fad called? What did we do at Deep River? Techno Wamp or something?
Oh, it was a beautiful house music club. It was called
House Music.
Yeah, and Bob and Scott came out dancing with me one night, and then Bob did a video, your dance video, Bob, and you were, like, channeling, you know, whatever you absorbed.
Yeah, you know what, Evan?
In L.A.
A dance, up in Vancouver someplace, a dance expert looked at that and told me that I had about 30, let's say 20 dance styles in there. They saw 20 dance styles. I didn't know one, but they projected that I was quoting dance styles, they thought. See, that's the genius of my communication. I make people think I'm making sense.
Well, you know what?
Your words between the two of you is dancing anyway, so you started off in the dance floor, and then you've managed to kind of create that in the shows that you've done. Great. I always look forward to an Evan Ray show coming through the email.
That's right. That's because
you do
Evan's
not, you
been,
do. You
Evan's
have nice guests
here in Maui.
As well, Evan.
Now, wait,
you've
got
some...
Rob. Just a minute, Rob. Evan spent a year in Maui, so she's got that going for her, and that's, what, 20 years ago, Evan?
A year in Maui? I was in Oahu.
Oh, Oahu. Sorry. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, I got the essence of the islands. Yeah, beautiful.
20 years ago?
So lucky. Yeah, about. Yeah, exactly. It's beautiful.
But, yes, Rob is pointing out that when we get talking, we roll along, well, you're comprehensive, I'm comprehensive. We can think fast and... get inspiration.
Well, plus, we go way back, Bob.
Yes. We're now going back 2000. No, I didn't say we're going back. I'm just thinking, what is that, 13 years?
1998.
No, I met you in 1999. Yes, at Mesquite. But the first interview, which you recorded at Mesquite in August 99, was broadcast in March 2000.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, you can see Evan on my timeline at Mesquite, Nevada, August 17th, 1999. She's there with Guffey, Scott, Randy, whatever his name was, Copain. Yeah, and you see Evan asking me a question. I think that's the first time I saw you. You come up to the mic, right? And I look at this person. I said, there's me, a black woman. That's like me. Me's talking to me.
You know what? I finally have hair, too, now, which is, you know, even more.
I noticed. What is that, film school or lawyer world? What's causing that?
Well, it was the power of suggestion, and so finally I went for it, and it's lovely. I'm so glad to be in the family of hair. It's great.
I was so busy, Evan, on the list of speakers that Matthew put together. Yours there. I said something different about that, but I couldn't focus. This doesn't look like Evan. What the hell is that? But I didn't even notice that it was the hair. I knew something was off.
Just a natural extension, man.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. Like, why did you stop cutting it?
Oh, yeah, I'm just letting it be its natural self, not doing any of the processes. Like you see some, you know, African-American women with, like, straightened hair. Well, that is such an ordeal. Forget about it.
Yeah.
So I'm just letting it do its thing, and it is lovely, and it kind of looks like yours.
Yeah.
And it's shaped.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Bob. I don't know. I know you from somewhere.
You got to take off. You got to get some contact lenses or something. You got old-fashioned glasses. Now, if you keep taking the drops, you won't need glasses anymore.
I can't wait for those drops.
Oh, you haven't taken them. You've taken them a little bit, right? Sample bottle?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I'm going to be having my drops absolutely very soon. But, Bob, I wanted to ask you about the time you were in L.A. and you were going to see the Queen of England, and you had that suitcase.
August 2011, yes.
Yes, absolutely. And we're hanging out super late. In that hotel room. It was so weird. I was, like, taking photos, and one of them is this ghost-like shadow figure. I don't know who it was. It was the weirdest thing was while we were all sitting in that
hotel. Yeah, the parallel worlding place that near James's home. Yes.
Right, absolutely. So can you talk any more about your trip there and what was in the suitcase that you took it everywhere?
We were going to the Vatican. All right? And we had to respond to their questions. They recognized, including the Pope, that this was something new, because they know a lot, or at least some of them in there. They knew it way back, and maybe not so many of the priests and cardinals know it today, but there's always someone who does. So they recognize what Ion was, that it was a fulfillment of something. I don't know if they'd say it was second coming, but so we had some objects. We want to do something with them around these objects. So that was in the suitcase.
What are they capable of doing to those objects?
Well, they wanted to see if they were the originals or did they have the originals. We were comparing our objects to theirs, and we won.
And what could those objects do?
I'm not allowed to talk about that, but they are pretty powerful. They're along the lines of the Ark of the Covenant. You know, the Ark of the Covenant had this power built up by humans focusing on it for centuries. And so other cultures have objects like that, and we have been given some of them. Some of these cults... See, right, what's happening, Evan, is people are recognizing... Elites are recognizing that we are what was prophecy, what people, humans, Illuminatis, were looking for. And they all want to be part of our scene. So they offer us their artifacts, their special gifts, their special treasures, to see if we will say, you, that's great. We owe you something. Hey, come on in, and you can talk to Ion for free, or something like that. They want to get close to us, Evan, and we don't let them in.
So they are saying that they want to talk to a more expanded consciousness. They feel that they have this worldview that is, you know, so satellite, and you guys are coming from non-physical, so they are, in a sense, saying, Master, you
yes,
know.
They're almost saying, we would like to make you a saint, but that is so they can say they are connected to us for their constituency.
Very cool.
Well, they're making incubators now, aren't they? They've got incubators. That's the key word.
Who's making incubators?
The echelons of society, the big banking companies, the venture capitalists, people. They call them incubators, but really it's like a place where people come in and share everything that they've got.
No, here's the thing, Robert. All the fantasies that people project in the Illuminati or the corporate guys...
No, it's
they
going
don't,
on.
No, it's they can't on. Do those fantasies because they don't have the proper knowledge. They don't understand RNA. Genetic engineering can't work because they're focusing on the DNA. So you can get rid of your Alex Jones projections and fears of the advanced technologies that the Illuminati, the leading elites have. They don't have it. It doesn't work because they don't know what they're doing. We have it because we found out how to make it.
But they still have the capability of hurting people at their scale. You know, they're still making like weaponized viruses. You know, that stupid chicken virus now that's passing human to human. I mean, they're still playing around in their frickin' realm, right?
But here's the thing. They don't know that humans, well, they're learning now, humans will not accept a virus. They don't want to. And so a lot of the swine flu and these things don't work on the big level that they were planned for because humans are coming to their power and not believing any of the propaganda that sets it up that they might be vulnerable, like 50 years ago. Not now, and so their technologies aren't working. This is the big breakthrough, Evan, that there's factors that science and technologists didn't consider in the power of the human to get hip to what's going on, and then just it bounces off them. It doesn't affect them. But they are affected by our stuff. We got the only thing that works for people that want something that works.
If you guys were to go onto another level and you needed some kind of funding and you went on Dragon's Den, that's the kind of incubator that I'm talking about.
We would not do that. We don't need any funding. First off, JW's a fucking trillionaire, and he doesn't even have to put any money into it because we get people sending us money anyways.
Well, you're the incubator then. You guys have got your own incubator.
Yeah, we're the incubator. We're the one that works.
It started. It's like their first little embryo, you know, RNA drops.
Yes.
Little baby, and look at all the baby lying they have now in
That's
their
right.
incubation process. Right.
I'd like to be
That's
able to tell
to do
you.
It is organic like that.
J.J. Abrams is very involved with us. I can't tell you how, but, you know, these... these creators recognize what we are.
I mean, he's stylizing yourself, you know. He's got the glasses.
He's actually just trying to tease me. Like, he says, okay, let's make this show Walter, and let's make him look like Bob, but make him like a fucking addled head, the way Ion says Bob is. And they follow Ion's instructions to make him act like what Ion says I act like, which is not always the case.
He's very coherent as well. He's a good speaker, and I do honestly, you know, from what you see on the TV interviews, he's quite a clever chap.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose you have to be a director, but, I mean, everybody wants to be a director now, isn't it?
Well, here's the interesting thing. If you look at Mulholland Drive by David Lynch, the director in that place with his horn-rimmed black glasses and the one that was made in the 90s, that is the way J.J. Abrams looks like to me. He looks like that guy, and he declares that Twin Peaks is a big influence on him. He probably recognized himself in Mulholland Drive.
Well, so he'll never live... After doing a Duran Duran concert on YouTube, that was just, I think that was his pinnacle.
I don't know about that. He directed a concert?
Yeah, it was a big thing. A lot of bands had done it previously, but they do like a live concert on YouTube. It must cost a hell of a lot to do. One of the cameras was directed by, I forget his name now. You just mentioned him.
J.J. Abrams.
No. The other guy.
Oh, David Lynch.
Yes.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, I bumped into one of Duran Duran about 2 months ago in Barnes, and we were chatting. I told him about David Lynch, and I went through and frying sausages on the drum, you know, where the guy's drumming and he's grilling sausages on the on the overlay of the concert. And it was just an amazing concert. It was so surreal. Have you seen that, Eben? Did you see it?
Oh, I wish now. Is it on YouTube? I gotta check it
out. It will be there. You might have to go through the three different versions of it, you know, but it will still be there.
Excellent.
So, Evan, how long can you stay with us?
An hour. Unfortunately, I have to take a little quiz tomorrow morning down at school, so, you know.
Okay, so
probably...
it's coming up to... You've been here half an hour. Can you only stay another half hour?
Is that okay?
Well, what I want to do, I'm starting to play my conversations about who killed Kennedy, and I thought I'd wait till you showed up and honor you with the first exhibits of it.
Great.
So,
I'm here.
So let's get into that.
Great.
Now, I was hoping you'd stay for 5 days, Evan. I hope you
yeah, why don't you come back, Evan?
Listen to Evan for 5 days.
Yes, I'll come back. That's great. This will be
come back anytime. You don't have to be scheduled. You don't have to be scheduled. Just come back and
are you a full-time radio host, Evan? Is that what you do in Los Angeles? Are you on various stations, or is it just the Alchemy?
Yeah, just I switched it to Project Next. I kind of buried Alchemy, went into Next, and I'm a volunteer programmer this whole time, not paid. Goodness of my freaking heart to communicate and stuff like that. Yeah.
Good news.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So good fun.
Okay.
Okay, Bob.
Oh, Bert, you want to say something, Bert?
No, I want to thank Evan for everything. I've listened to all of the shows that you had on Bob, and I also want to thank you for that question you just asked Bob about the suitcase.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that. I always had that question about the meeting with the Vatican, so I've got enough of the puzzle pieces. Thank you.
Yeah, Evan evoked it. I wouldn't even thought of that question.
Yeah, it's very good. Very, very good.
Yeah, Evan's got a dowsing kind of mind as an interviewer. She finds things.
That's from hanging out with you, Bob, because you're a dowser.
Yes, and it was quite funny. We were standing out in highways and that, and I'm standing by my suitcase. I won't let anybody near it. And I'm claiming there's bodyguards around the corner watching this.
Yeah.
It was quite interesting and sort of a night of intrigue. And we ended up at that double world hotel. What was that called? Beverly? The Raphael, the Renaissance, what is that place called? Hermitage.